Okay, we're in Kings, right? We've been there, and we're not going to get out of there for a little while. But, let's see, we were in 1 Kings 15, and it talks about Abijam and Judah, and I think we went down to verse 7 or 11, I'm not sure where we left off. But let's read the first verses, and then we'll pick it up with King Asa, because we didn't get to King Asa.
Oh, so it's 1 Kings 15?
Yeah.
Okay, and what verse?
Verse 1.
Oh.
It's easy. The first one. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, and the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. You know, it points out again and again, David. And it talks about how his heart was right with God. Remember, he was a man after God's own heart. But it's kind of amazing how David was such a good king and God blessed him so much. And then Solomon started out as such a good king. And then he let his heart get turned. And then from there, it's really a road down for the most part. There's a couple of hills, but mostly it's valleys. You know, there's a good king here and a good king there. The kings of Israel are pretty much bad all the way through. You know, Jeroboam was bad from the beginning, and those that followed him got worse and worse. So, anyway, verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord, his God, give him a lamp in Jerusalem and set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. So God does mention that one incident, and there was a couple of things that David did wrong, but Uriah the Hittite. But remember, it's never mentioned in Chronicles at all. It's just not there. So, and there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam in all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. So now we get to Asa. But before we do that, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 13. And we'll just read a little bit, because it gives us, fills in a little of the things that we just read. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, chapter 13, right? Verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Now the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 men, chosen men, being mighty men of valor. So Israel has got a 2-to-1 advantage here. 800,000 to 400,000. And Abijah stood upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and he said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over to Israel, to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt?" And of course, you could go back and read about that. And 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God gave the kingdom to David. You know, he said, I brought you out of the sheep coat and from following the sheep to rule over my people. And they made a salt covenant, and that's how David got the kingdom. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the son of David, sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for God. So at this point here, Abijah is standing up to Jeroboam for God against his idols. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are not gods or no gods? So here again, we learn that Jeroboam chased out the Levites and the priests out of Israel. He just got rid of them because he didn't want Jehovah taught. He didn't want them to keep the law that was given to Israel and to learn the covenant that God made with Israel. And that's what the priests and Levites did, right? So he kicked them out. And apparently some of the people that were in Israel that wanted to follow Jehovah were asked to leave also. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the same of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices of sweet incense, the showbread also, yet they in order upon the pure table and the candlestick of gold and the lamps thereof to burn every evening, for we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. So this guy has taken a stand at this point in time. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. So what's he saying? You know, you can't forsake God. It's not going to work for you. Turn back. Don't listen to Jeroboam. Turn back to the true God. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come up out behind them as they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before them and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Wow. That's quite a victory. They were outnumbered 2-1. But who fought the battle for them? God did. You know, slew Jeroboam. Got rid of him. And the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took the cities from him, Bethel with towns thereof, and Jeshanah with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah waxed mighty and married 14 wives and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet of Iddo. And then it says, so Abijah slept with his fathers. He probably wore himself out. And they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead in the days the land was quiet, 10 years. So back to 1 Kings 15, and we pick it up. Let's see.
9?
Well, yeah, we can do 9. It says, in the 20th year, Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. So Asa is the king. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. That's Asa. That's quite a long time to rule when you think about how long did Queen Elizabeth reign?
70 years.
75 years. She's the longest reigning. Before that, it was Queen Victoria, and she was like 60-something years. So usually, you know, they don't last that long. So Asa ruled for 41 years, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord as David, his father. So again, he's compared to David, that man of God who was a king and a prophet, and he did what was right in the sight. And so Asa followed his example. And he took away the Sodomites. We looked at that. It was male prostitutes of some sort. Out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maachah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now, you know, high places, it's kind of interesting because mostly they're associated with the worship of idols. But there were times in Israel before they had set up Jerusalem and the temple where people would set up places to worship God in high places, like on the top of a hill, because they thought it was closer to God. So that's why they did it. But then the pagans did it also, and then they took over a lot of these places, especially in Israel when they turned to the idols, right? But Asa, he destroyed the idols of his mother, and he removed idols out of the land, and his heart was perfect with God. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself he had dedicated unto the house of the Lord, silver and gold, and vessels. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Okay, Baasha is not a good guy. Anyway, we'll go on. Because what's Baasha? He's the king of Israel, and Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramoth, that he might not suffer any to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. He's trying to do like a boycott. He's trying to prevent people from going in or coming out to Judah. He doesn't want people going to Judah because they would, you know, people that believed in God would go to Jerusalem to observe the feasts and to do sacrifices, and they would hear the word of God. So he didn't want people going there. So he set it up so that people couldn't get there. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hazion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between thy father and my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So, you know, It said when he first became king, there was quiet for 10 years. But then Baasha, he wanted to fight. So so he made this deal with Ben-Hadad. But let's go to, so we're here in verse 19, 20. Let's go to back to 2 Chronicles and verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. And it gives us more interesting or more details. And Asa did that, verse 2 of chapter 14, you know, Abijah slept with his fathers and Asa his son reigned, verse 1. Asa did that which is good in the sight and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. So it gives us a little more information than what it gave in Kings. He did a little more housework than what it says in Kings. He cut down the groves. Groves were places where they built like obelisks and towers and stuff to worship other gods. And he broke down images and took down high places. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So that was a commandment of the king, that they were to follow the Lord God, which meant Jehovah, right? Jehovah the God, their God. And so if they didn't do it, what did they face? They faced difficulty with the king, with the government. But you know, usually if the king was a believer, the people pretty much followed along. Not always, but a lot of times, whichever the king went, the people went. So, you know, in Israel, the kings were bad and a lot of the people turned to idols. Not all of them, but most of them, or a lot of them. So, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God and we have sought him and he hath given rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All of these were mighty men of valor. So he had a total army of 580,000. It says they were all mighty men of valor, meaning they were good soldiers. They were courageous and strong. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,300 chariots, and came unto Marishah. Okay, so this guy comes from Ethiopia. Ethiopia is south of Egypt. And they came across somehow. It's quite a trip. And he had 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. 1,000,000 is 1,000,000, right?
Yep.
That's quite an army. Then Asa went out against him, and they set battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord, and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil. So what's it say? It says that God won the battle. God destroyed the Ethiopians. Now, you know, I should have been a little more careful with my notes, but this is a little out of order because we already went to Baasha, and we should have read this first because this occurred first. And as you can see here, Asa just relied on God, right? And God took care of it. And so the Ethiopians were overthrown and they carried away very much spoil, meaning they got rich off this battle. They got a lot of moolah. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for fear the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote all the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So they had a great victory. Okay, but Asa did what? He went to God for help. He went to God for help, and God answered his call, and they were victorious. Now let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, and the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of God, came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So now we have another prophet.
What verse are we in? 15, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles.
Azariah, the prophet, the man of God. We have another guy that shows up. I was thinking about this today, because I was reading through and I, of course, read ahead. And every once in a while, one of these guys just shows up. You don't know anything about him. And I was thinking, you know, what were they doing in the meantime? You know, and but obviously they're godly men. They're probably speaking the word of God. They're ministering to people. They're men of prayer. And then something like this comes along. And so, you know, God calls them to step in the gap and make a difference and deliver his word. So here's this guy, Azariah. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if," there's another one of those ifs, "if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." You know, that has to be in some ways an idiom. I mean, it's Old Testament, I know. But God doesn't really forsake. People forsake him. But you know, every time Israel ever turned around and turned back to God, he was right there waiting for them to bless them, to deliver them, to bless them, to help them, to heal them, whatever. And I'm sure the same is true here. So he delivers, Azariah delivers this message. He's been waiting in the wings, and then God gives him, you know, the big message to deliver to the king and to Judah and Benjamin. And he tells them that. He says, you know, if you're going to stick with God, he will bless you and take care of you. "Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." That's what it says, right? I just kind of said that, and I didn't realize it was coming up here. "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." What a great thing to tell them. You know, be strong and your work will be rewarded. God always rewards when people do the right thing. It's such a simple principle, isn't it? You know, and this guy, this man of God, He listens to God and he delivers this great message. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw the Lord, his God, was with him. So this is what it's saying. The people from Israel came because that they saw that Asa was leading Judah and Benjamin in a godly way, and they were worshiping the true God. And these other people came out of these other tribes out of Israel, the northern kingdom, and they went to Judah because they wanted to worship the true God. Pretty great. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. Remember, how long did he reign? 41 years. So this is at the 15th year, so not quite halfway through his reign. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. What a great commitment those people made. And it's because Asa led those people and went to God and was willing to do what God asked him to do. And then this prophet came and delivered this great prophecy. So these people were excited. That's whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Verse 15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. How cool is that? So they were doing pretty good, right? They made a covenant. The result was peace, and there was great joy, and they prospered. And also concerning Maachah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the Brook Kidron. Brook Kidron comes up a couple of times in this time period here. It's kind of a favorite place to destroy idols and burn them or something. You know, this is the place, if you want to get rid of false gods, this is where you go to do it. And kill false prophets and stuff. The Brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And that, you know, that just means his heart was to do his best for God, and he was upright before God. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 13th year of the reign of Asa. So that's 18 years. 35? Yeah, 30. Oh, 30th. Sorry, I said 13th. Yeah. 30th. Check my glasses. So for 35 years, he has a great reign. You know, and he's moving with God, and he's doing the right thing, and he's very blessed. Now we're going to go back to 1 Kings briefly. Let's see. So let's go back to verse 16. And there was a war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. So this guy, Baasha, or Baasha, however you say his name, He comes along after in Israel, and it's about the 35th year of the reign of Asa, and he starts a war with Judah. And Baasha, I guess is how it says, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Remember, all those people had come in previously because they wanted to worship the true God. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Timuron, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel Beth Mahacha and all of Sinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard thereof that he left off building of Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation, throughout all Judah. None was exempted, that they took away the stone of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had built it, and the king Asa built them with Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Nevertheless, in his time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers and in the city of David, his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. So now we're going to go back to Chronicles because we have to pick up here and see the details of Asa. So it says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, 2 Chronicles 16. Am I going too fast?
No, you didn't tell us
about
where to go.
Oh, sorry.
2 Chronicles
16. So now we're going to pick it up and see what it says in Chronicles about this thing with Baasha, because we only got part of the story here. So here it tells us it was the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might not let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. So that's what we read in Kings. And Asa brought out all his silver and gold out of the treasure house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. There is a league between me and thee and between my father and their father. Behold, I have sent thee and all that stuff. And Ben-Hadad hearkened. And verse 5, and it came to pass that Baasha heard it, that he left off building Ramah, and he left the work cease. And Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now, here we go with another prophet. Remember, Azariah had come after they had defeated the Ethiopians, and he told them, you know, if you stuck with God, and you would be rewarded and all the other stuff. So now he has made a league with Syria. You know, he got rid of Baasha. But what happens? Verse 7, and at that time Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah. A seer is another word for a prophet, right? Maybe refers to the fact that he sees visions. But anyway, and he said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Because he was what? an unbelieving Gentile. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. That's kind of a familiar sounding. Says similar things in other places. But, you know, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, God doesn't really have eyes, but what is it doing? It's given us an understanding that he's always looking out for people that are his people. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from thenceforth, thou shalt have wars. Previous to this, for 36 years, or 30-something years, he had had peace, right? So he had the one little incident with the Ethiopians back, and then he had peace for 20-something years. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and he put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So now he's an old crotchety old man, and he doesn't want to hear it from the man of God at this point. Years ago, when Azariah came, he was meek and humble, and he was willing to listen. Now he takes, and instead of rewarding the guy or celebrating God's blessing, he takes the prophet and throws him in prison. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. So that's the end of Asa. But man, he had it all. And then he blew it. So back to Kings. Because what happened? Then his son took over. So back to 1 Kings, and we go to verse 25, I think. 1 Kings 15, verse 25. That's where we left off. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years and did well and so on. And then Baasha reigned. And so it talks about him and goes down. Verse 29, it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. That's Baasha. He smote all the house of Jeroboam, and he left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him according unto the saying of the Lord, which he had spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. He came from Shiloh. Okay, remember that? He prophesied that Jeroboam, his family, his house, would be cut off. And so when this guy Baasha came, he finished the job and he wiped out all the family of Jeroboam. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned and which he made Israel sin, by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tirzah, 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So, chapter 16. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani. Now remember, Hanani was the guy that went to Asa, right? Right, and prophesied, and Asa threw him in jail.
Yeah.
So here's the son. Jehu, the son of Hanani, spoke against Baasha, saying. So he's a prophet too. His father was a prophet, and he's a prophet. So I guess his father taught him well. And forasmuch as I exalted thee out of the dust and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and has made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and will make thy house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. What's he saying? He said, because you turned your back on me and went in the sins of Jeroboam, you're going to suffer the same fate as Jeroboam. Your family's going to be wiped out, and you're not going to have any descendants. Him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did and his might, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha slept with his fathers and was burned, was buried in Tirzah, and Elah his son reigned in his stead. And also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed him. You know, when you think about these guys and, you know, Hanani and then his son Jehu, and they have to go and deliver not a good message. Like, originally that guy delivered a good message to Asa, right? He said, you know, you did great, and if you just stick with God, you're going to get blessed. And they had peace for a long period of time. But then his father comes, Hanani, and Asa's old now, and he doesn't want to hear it, and he throws him in jail. And then his son has to go to Baasha, not to Baasha, but the other guy. No, Baasha, yeah. And he has to deliver this message because, you know, he's saying, you're going to end up the same way as Jeroboam. That had to be a, you know, scary thing. Mm-hmm. He had to have real confidence that God would take care of him as he delivered that message. He couldn't be afraid. He had to rely on God. So in verse 7 again, and also by the hand of the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, came the word of the Lord against Baasha and against his house, even for all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, and provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, and being like the house of Jeroboam, because he killed him. In the 20th and 6th year of the king Judah began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign in Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, the captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on the throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha and left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinsfolk, nor of his friends. So that's a what? A fulfilling of that prophecy against Baasha. You know, it came pretty quick. This guy Zimri did it. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. So that Jehu, you know, he was a prophet. His father was a prophet. He was the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and all the sins of Elah, his son, by which they sinned and by the which they made Israel to sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So, man, what a history they had. You know, just, it's just terrible. So we get to that point. Hananiah the seer, a man of God, he didn't listen to his senses, but he went to God. And then Asa took his anger out on him. And then the prophecy was fulfilled concerning Jeroboam and Baasha. So quite a deal. So now we get to, where are we, verse 15? 15. Well, we're going to jump down to verse 28 because the other stuff here doesn't really, it's just different kings in Israel and, you know, nothing going on exciting. But in verse 28, so Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. Okay, this is a bad thing. This guy Ahab is in the line of this guy Omri, who's not a good king, and he dies, and Ahab his son takes reign. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab to the son of Omri to reign over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Okay, this guy is almost the antithesis of David. You know, everybody that's good is compared to David. And here, Asa, he's the ultimate in badness in, you know, doing things more than anybody else before him. And they were pretty bad, right? Making idols and causing the people to sin and throwing out the Levites and the priests and trying to stop people that wanted to worship the true God from going to Judah and all that stuff. And it came to pass as if he had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, I looked this up. There's a different, you know, Baal is a, it's a name that's attributed to a number of gods, and they had Baal and then another name after it. And apparently, the Baal that they worshipped in Tyre Sidon, which is where Jezebel came from, was a nature god, a god of nature. And that's what they worshipped. That was the Baal that they worshipped. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. This guy worked really hard to tick God off, to be evil, to turn people away from the true God and turn them to idols and the false God, his God. And Ahab made a grove in there, and in his days, verse 34, did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho, and he laid the foundation thereof of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up gates thereof, and his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. I don't know why that's in there, but it's there. So, this is the ascension of Ahab to the house of Israel. And we're just going to start out a little bit here, and then we'll pick it up next week with Elijah. Okay, so verse 1 of 17, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Okay, so here we go. You know, we get this new guy, tells us how bad he is. And then all of a sudden in chapter 17, verse 1, here's this guy, Elijah, the Tishbite of Gilead. Now, it seems to be that Gilead is where he dwelled, but there is a village in Naphtali called Tishbe. So it's speculated by, you know, scholars and all these different people that that's probably where he originated from. So that's why he was called the Tishbite. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say. But here he is. And again, we don't have any history or background about this great prophet. We just know here he is in the middle of this battle with Ahab and Jezebel. Okay? And Jehovah's prophet is standing against the king and queen and their worship of Baal. In this first verse, there is no doubt that Elijah is speaking for Jehovah by revelation. Throughout this record, we will see how God speaks to Elijah of his great and of his great obedience and the results that come to pass. I mean, Elijah is just an incredible man who listens to God and sees great things happen. So let's go to James chapter 5 real quick. It says something about Elijah right here. And verse 16, the second part of the verse, it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, which is Elijah from the Greek, was a man subject to like passions as we are. What does like passions mean? Desires, emotions, you know, feelings. He was a guy. He was a guy, just like all of us. He was a human being. He had flesh and blood. He had feelings, you know. Anyway, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that's what it says in James. Go back to 1 Kings 17. Yeah, so it shows that he's a prayerful man. It shows that he's a guy that is you know, sold out to God. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. So here again we see, you know, that he's a man of God. The word of God. God is, you know, what do we see about men of God? God speaks to them. They speak for God. They have the Spirit of God upon them. So this is Elijah, and he's got all those and more. And it says, "Get thee hence." And these directions, instructions that God gives him are extremely specific. He says, "Get thee hence, get out of here, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Wow. You know, if God said, "Get out of here and go hide, and the birds are going to bring you food," you'd think, wow, this is crazy. Right? This is nuts. But God's word is what? For profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully furnished, fully perfected unto all good works. And certainly, God's word came to him. He instructed him. He obeyed. And he was equipped to take care of everything for Elijah. And as we continue on next week, this is like a serial, you know. If you ever saw the old serials where the good guy is going over the cliff, and then the next week you see that he really didn't go over the cliff.
Right.
So Elijah runs and hides according to what God tells him. And meanwhile, Ahab's not happy. So we're going to see what happens and see the life of Elijah, a really great man of God. Okay? So, Father God, we thank you for this day, night. Thank you for loving us and blessing us. For what a great and wonderful Father you are to us. We thank you for the these great records in the Word. You show that people that obey you and keep your word, you just bless them, that you're always there ready to help them and do your best for them. And we also see what happens to people that go the other way, that their lives are just destroyed. So we thank you, Father, that we can have that life that's more than abundant. We can have a life that's glorious living for you. And we thank you for that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.